Thank you. Please be seated. This is our time set for oral argument. Our case number CACV 250533, Aldesoro versus Pavlich. And I apologize in advance for mispronouncing those names. Each side is allocated 20 minutes for oral argument. Appellant can reserve a portion of that time for rebuttal if you wish to do so. If you wish to do so, you'll need to keep track of your time at the podium clock. Out of respect for counsel and to avoid embarrassment, I would ask everyone in attendance to make sure that their phones are disabled so our proceedings are not being interrupted. We've read the briefs. We've conferenced the case. We'd encourage you to keep that in mind as you present oral argument today. Our proceedings are being recorded and will be posted to YouTube in due course. So please, as you present your argument or you begin your argument, please tell us your name and the party that you represent. With that, Mr. Hester, you may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. I represent Juan Aldesoro, who is the plaintiff in the lawsuit that we filed against the City of Phoenix. And I wanted the court to know, this is not a big case. He's not paralyzed or has terribly serious injuries. It's a case that normally would have settled if we didn't have this immunity issue in front of us. So even though the case is small, I think the issue is a big one. We're seeing the city and other entities constantly referring to this immunity that doesn't exist, and the Jennings case, in situations where the officer did not comply with 28.624. That statute says they have to have lights and they have to have a siren.
Isn't Jennings talking, Jennings sort of has two alternative holdings, but isn't Jennings sort of really hanging its hat, if you will, on the discretionary act immunity and not so much on 2864? I know you briefed both of those issues, but if we could start maybe with the discretionary act immunity.
Well, here's my thinking on that, is 28.624 applies to any immunity claim. Because what happened is the legislature obviously decided that there needed to be a balance between the risk of ignoring traffic laws and allowing the officers to do their job. So regardless of whether it's 28.624 privilege or discretionary privilege like Ms. Corbett claims, the requirements are the same.
Well, Mr. Hester, you used the word privilege there, but it's not.
I do.
Those are different things. Privilege and immunity. Privilege, at least in my view, is a permission to violate otherwise applicable laws, whereas immunity is freedom from liability for your actions. Are you using them interchangeably here?
I am, and I think there's a case that says that they're the same in that context. But I have to be honest with you, I can't cite it off the top of my head. But I think the officer is privileged or is immune if he uses his lights and uses his siren. I mean, we're literally talking about something that takes 2 seconds. The legislature, when they adopted that, understood that. And it's not just for the safety of the public, it's also for the safety of the officer. I mean, we've all seen that happen. Yeah, you come up to an intersection.
Doesn't the statute, though, say that they still have to exercise due regard?
I'm sorry?
I thought the statute also said the officer must exercise due regard, which it seems like just shouldn't be negligent. Is due regard something different than negligent?
I don't think it is. I think it would be the same. I think
if the statute is saying even if you put your lights on and even if you run your siren, you still can't be negligent.
Under Section D, he can still be found negligent if he's reckless. And I'm not claiming that Officer, I think it's Pavlich, was reckless. I mean, he just blew the red light. But that's where D comes in, and because in the Jennings case, the officer did have her lights and siren on, and the discussion was really all about D, which has nothing to do with our situation, because Officer Pavlich, at least in his deposition, told me he did not have his siren on.
Counsel, let me ask you, I'm a little fuzzy on whether I know we're here on a grant of summary judgment.
That's right.
It seems to me like we're here in a grant of summary judgment under the common law. I'm not as sure that the statute had an implication in what the trial court did, but I want to hear from both counsel on whether we're here to address both those issues or simply common law.
Well, my thinking, don't know how good it is, but my thinking is that regardless of whether it's common law immunity or it's under this 820.05 or wherever else it is, 28.624 still has to be complied with. There's nothing in that statute that implies that they can ignore that because there's this common law immunity out there, most of which was abolished by the Stone case years ago. So I think you get the same answer regardless, and they have to comply with those two requirements.
And you may, but what I'm asking for is kind of procedurally where we are. And the trial court, in granting summary judgment to the city, certainly referenced 28.624.
Yes.
But what I'd focused on was the statement that under Arizona's common law, the defendants are entitled to qualified discretionary act immunity. And those struck me as maybe two posts under a stool, and I wanted to know if both posts were in play or simply the common law immunity.
I was a little confused by that, but
I feel
thought,
better.
I thought most of the time we were talking about the statute, but then he does talk about the common law part of it, which is what Mrs. Corbett was arguing. And my retort was the same as what I've told you today, is either way, the statute has to be complied with. There's no case. I didn't find any case, any statute, any common law since Stone that said that an officer who drives without licensed sirens in direct violation of the statute is immune. I think it's a dangerous proposition to say that he would be.
Do you agree that it's a discretionary act? As opposed to a ministerial.
Well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
I agree that they claim it is. I think it's a jury question whether or not there is or not. He was not the one that was pursuing whoever it was. He was just following along behind somebody and stopped for the red light and then went when he thought it was green and it wasn't. So
we're not talking about somebody who's just driving from City Hall to an office building.
I agree.
This is part of a pursuit, part of an ongoing emergency event, if you will. It seems like it's a discretionary.
Yeah, that's his testimony, is that he was part of whatever it was they were doing, looking for a carjacker or something. So yeah, I would think that's true. But I don't think that gets him around using lights and siren. I mean, that's going to happen in most of these cases, is that they're going to be in situations where the lights and sirens are critical. Fortunately, Juan was not hurt terribly, but somebody's going to be.
But doesn't Jennings does, I mean, it addresses 28.624, but it doesn't really hang its hat on 28.624. Jennings
no.
talks essentially says that because the police officers have discretion in how they're going to respond to an emergency call, therefore they have qualified immunity for those decisions. And it does certainly address 28.64, but it doesn't really base its decision.
I agree with you completely on that.
Okay.
And I don't think that the argument that I've made was made in Jennings because the lights and siren on. It's in the first paragraph of Jennings. You'll see that officer had the lights and siren on. It would have been an entirely different analysis had that been a different situation. So they had to jump to Section D and also common law immunity, like you've pointed out. Anyway, in summary, I think it's a dangerous situation for them to be immune from a requirement of the statute that takes literally 2 or 3 seconds for the protection of the public and for the officer's protection. And that immunity should not be applied in this case, Your Honor.
And can I just confirm with you, again, it's, in your view, a disputed issue of material fact whether the lights and siren were on. I understand that you have an argument that he said either he didn't or he wasn't sure, he couldn't recall. But that in your view, is a jury question?
That would be a jury question, but I said, and do you know if any of those events you had your siren on? And he says, I do not believe I did. So I wouldn't consider that a disputed fact.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Very well. Thank you. Ms. Corbett.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, Jody Corbett on behalf of Defendants Appellees, City of Phoenix, and Officer Giovanni Pavlinch. This court should affirm the trial court's ruling that no genuine issue of material fact precluded summary judgment on the basis that defendants are entitled to common law qualified immunity for Plaintiff Aldisaro's only claim against them, simple negligence. And as Your Honor—
So in your view, police officers are immune from claims for simple negligence in Arizona. Is that your argument?
for discretionary acts,
okay,
not for every single thing they do. And in Jennings,
so what is it? What is a non-discretionary act by a police officer in responding to a call?
Well, in responding to an emergency call for service, in Jennings, the court said, use the words driving in response to an emergency call for police backup. So it's an emergent situation. They need to get there quickly. And they also use the word speeding toward an active emergency.
But they need to get there quickly, and they may need to speed. Does that mean they don't need to be careful? They don't need to avoid? Negligence turns on the facts and circumstances that are present at the time, and it may require that you go faster. But if we're saying, are you saying you can, are you acknowledging that you can, in fact, be negligent while you're driving too fast, driving fast to, not saying too fast, but driving fast to a some sort of event?
So officers who are driving to emergencies are granted immunity for simple negligence. So if they do things that amount to gross negligence or recklessness, they can still be held liable.
And your authority for saying that they're granted immunity?
The common law qualified immunity for discretionary acts under the Jennings, Spooner, and Landeros cases that have been this court's jurisprudence for...
Let me ask, what's the purpose of having a statute that says it's okay to violate laws, to go the wrong way on a one-way street or drive too fast, but then not have them, if they don't comply with that, isn't that kind of negligent?
Well, the statute is not at issue in this case. As Judge Thumma pointed out, the trial court was very clear that he was only granting immunity under common law discretionary immunity, not under he wasn't finding anything under the statute.
And you're relying on Jennings?
Jennings, Spooner, Landeros, that whole line of cases.
Is Landeros an immunity case?
Yes, it's a common law qualified immunity case.
Based on what?
Based on discretionary act granted to government officials.
What were the circumstances?
Of Landeros?
Yes.
I don't that right in front of me.
I mean, again, it was a question about detaining a juvenile and whether to detain a juvenile here. It's got nothing to do with operating a motor vehicle.
Sure, yeah, Landeros and Spooner, correct. Landeros and Spooner were about other police activities. But Jennings then extended that to driving to an active emergency.
Counsel, let me get back to one of Judge Beck's prior questions. What are examples of non-discretionary acts that law enforcement officers would take in any context?
So an example that one of you gave, driving from City Hall to the police station, or if, for example, an officer is asked to respond to a scene of a crime that occurred 4 hours earlier, and they're just going there to do some kind of investigative act, they're not speeding toward an active emergency.
What's the public policy underlying having a different standard? If we're saying you shouldn't be negligent, you should exercise due care. Shouldn't you exercise due care even if you're driving fast? Why is it different? Just because you're driving a little bit slower, you have to exercise due care. It seems like it's less important to exercise due care if you're only driving 20 miles an hour. Why would we not want to protect the public against negligent acts when it's a complete innocent bystander who's harmed by a negligent act of a police officer?
So in Jennings, the court expressly stated what the purpose of discretionary act immunity is for police officers, is to preserve the independence of action without deterrence or intimidation by the fear of personal liability and vexatious suits. If immunity applies, an officer is shielded from liability unless the conduct rises to gross negligence or recklessness. So police officers, the public policy is, we don't want police officers to be afraid of being sued.
But Ms. Corbett, do police officers write their own checks when they are sued for negligence? Or are they covered by insurance or paid for by the government when they're in the course and scope of their employment? I mean, is there any real public policy concern for a police officer's liability when they are in no circumstance ever going to be writing a check for liability?
Well, the taxpayers of the city of Phoenix would be writing a check.
Correct.
And police officers are
but
you're out
saying,
there.
But we're contemplating that someone committed a negligent act and harmed an innocent bystander. So you're saying the innocent bystander can write a check, but it's somehow worse that the city of Phoenix would have to write a check?
Well, we're getting away from the issues in this case, which are, in this case, the plaintiff chose not to
you were talking about the public policy reasons. We're trying to encourage police officers to do their job.
Which this court has said is an important one.
But they would do, assuming they're not really afraid that they're going to be personally liable for something if they know that the city is on the hook if they're just doing something that's negligent, compared to protecting the rights of an innocent bystander who happens to be hit.
I think what the court is saying in Jennings and what the courts have said in other immunity contexts is public officials shouldn't be afraid of being sued in making split-second decisions when they're trying to help the public, serve the public, get a dangerous person off the street, which is what Officer Pavlich was working.
But is there any, are they afraid of being sued? I'm asking the foundational question. As a matter of statute, the city has to provide insurance for its employees. You know, they're not personally liable. I did governmental defense for the first 10 years in private practice. I never had a single client write a check. It's always the insurance company. So what is the public policy reason why we need to immunize police officers from simple negligence when they in reality are not really at risk from a lawsuit for simple negligence?
So they should be able to make split-second decisions in trying to find a suspect, apprehend a suspect. Officer Pavlich was, contrary to what plaintiff's counsel said, he was right behind another officer. They were both going to the same place. They were both speeding to the same active emergency, trying to apprehend a carjacking suspect who had already carjacked one car and another car.
Isn't that part of the negligence analysis, though, the circumstances that exist at the time?
Well, Arizona courts over the years have decided that police officers are entitled to qualified immunity for discretionary acts under the common law. And as
can I interrupt for just a second? Then at some point, the Supreme Court suggested that the legislature should come in and explain where they wanted to have immunity for public officials. And they didn't seem to come in and say police officers are entitled to immunity for negligent acts in driving a vehicle.
Well, but they did come in ARS 12-820-05 and say that the immunity statutes don't abrogate any immunities that are under the common law.
Correct.
So,
and that statute was passed in 1984 in reaction to the Ryan v. State case, which said there is no common law immunity in that situation.
Right, but then the...
So it's enshrining a non-existent common law immunity.
Well, but courts since then have found these common law immunities for police officers in Landeros,
right,
Spooner,
aren't
Jennings.
All of those, at least to the extent that this court is doing that, aren't all of those decisions in conflict with Ryan v. State? Aren't all of them in conflict with the Arizona Supreme Court's decision in Ryan v. State?
I don't believe so, because the courts have found that this common law immunity exists and that the legislature said it, they were okay with it when they passed that, when they stated that statute. I also want to point the court on that same issue.
Just to clarify, didn't the statute 12-820-05, if I've quoted it right, say that the common law lives, that whatever we've done with statutory immunity, the common law still exists in all its glory, including whatever immunities existed at common law that by definition the court recognized, right? In other words, the statutory enactment for qualified immunity and absolute immunity and highway design immunity as well, those stand as unique circumstances, but they don't displace whatever the common law directs, right?
Correct.
And the question I wanted to get back to this, I still struggle with non-discretionary and discretionary, and you'd mentioned, you know, driving from the city hall to the police station is not discretionary, if I wrote my notes down right.
Yeah, that would be a ministerial act, as was pointed out in Chamberlain,
right?
Driving from point A to point B.
But how What if it was to respond to an emergency at the police station?
Well,
would it still be a non-discretionary act? Or would that, in other words, I'm trying to figure out, and perhaps there's no test.
Well, I think the tests turn on the facts.
Sure.
And in this case, the undisputed facts, there's no dispute in the record. Mr. Hester didn't put anything in the record for the trial court or this court that Officer Pavlich was not speeding to an active emergency at the time of this accident. His testimony was that he was part of this investigation, and that's where he was going at the time the accident occurred. And there's no dispute of that in this case.
So if that's the case, help me understand how qualified immunity is even relevant here. What you're saying is the facts don't show negligence, let alone the need for protection under qualified immunity. I understand the case coming to us in a different procedural context than that.
Well, I mean, it's possible that the facts show negligence, but he's entitled to qualified immunity from simple negligence, which is the only claim in this case.
And that's the issue we're asked to wrestle with
right.
on appeal.
Right. And I wanted to point the court to the Garabee versus Johnson case that talks about, and the cite for that, it's not cited in the briefs, 259 Ares 248 paragraph 19. The Arizona Supreme Court said that if common law is to be changed or abrogated by statute, the legislature must do so expressly or by necessary implication. And so in enacting 28.624, the legislature did not say we're abrogating the common law discretionary act immunity. And so for that reason, in Jennings, there are two completely separate...
Sorry to interrupt you, but in looking at 28.624, subsection D says this section does not relieve the driver of the emergency vehicle from the duty to drive with due regard for the whatever care safety of all persons. It says this doesn't relieve the police officer from his obligation not to commit negligent acts.
From a duty.
Yeah.
But it's. It also, in subsection A, says the driver may exercise privileges provided in this section.
What is the privilege that you are stating there? What do you believe the privilege is? The privilege is to commit negligent acts, or the privilege is to break
Traffic laws, not commit negligent acts. And so that's the difference here.
And a privilege is not an immunity.
No, it is not.
A police officer with their lights and sirens on, they can run a red light, they can exceed the speed limit, they can do all those things under 28.624, right?
Well,
they have a privilege to violate the otherwise generally applicable traffic laws.
Well, they have to still not have reckless disregard for the public.
Well, I understand. No. But the question I'm asking you is, when we talk about the privilege there, it's a privilege to violate the law.
Correct. Yeah. But this case isn't about 28.624. This case is about discretionary act immunity.
What is the point of using that language? It doesn't relieve them of the duty to drive with due regard for safety. That seems to be saying we're not providing immunity. We're saying you have a privilege to violate the law, but you still have to be careful. While you're driving the wrong way, or while you're running a red light, you still have to be careful.
Correct, but it has a different standard, too. It doesn't talk about gross negligence. It talks about reckless disregard.
How does a different standard get you to immunity?
So we're talking about discretionary act common law immunity, which is a totally separate thing from the statute. The statute doesn't apply. We didn't even argue the statute applied to this case. We didn't bring it up. Plaintiff's counsel brought it up in the trial court, and as we made clear...
Looks like it applies because it says... We give you this privilege to run a red light, but that's not saying you're going to be immune from a lawsuit if you're negligent.
Well, we're not arguing it applied.
I'm saying, how do we get around that language in the statute? That's how I'm reading the statute, is what it's suggesting anyway.
Well, you get around it because the common law qualified immunity that's gone through all these different cases and still is there, and I wanted to point the court to, it's an unpublished special action order in Reed that we attached to our appendix. Judge Catlett talked about the two separate, the statutory immunity and the common law immunity that are addressed in Jennings and made really clear in his concurrence, and he felt the need to write a separate concurrence to say this, that qualified immunity does not rise or fall with 28.624, even if that statute doesn't apply or wasn't complied with. Common law qualified immunity may still protect the government against negligence claims, and the court correctly concludes that common law qualified immunity does so here.
Didn't the Arizona Supreme Court say as recently as 2018 that police officers are liable for ordinary negligence claims in Ryan versus Napier?
They are if they don't have a different immunity that applies. So in Ryan versus Napier, that case was about whether they could be liable for
simple negligence. It's very clear. It's a simple negligence
could,
case.
But that was determining whether they could be sued for an intentional tort and negligence at the same time. So the procedural history and the facts of that case aren't really what we're talking about here.
Well, I mean, it comes right out and says that you can bring a simple negligence
claim
against a police officer.
Right, but it doesn't.
So the distinction that you're drawing there is the fact that it's in response to an emergency situation.
Correct.
Or that it is a discretionary act, or both.
Both. Police officers do many discretionary acts in addition to driving. They do criminal investigations. They determine which witnesses to interview. They determine who to arrest. So the whole, all of the case law from Landeros to Jennings and in between talks about different discretionary acts that police officers have. And in driving to an emergency call is one of those. And
that's what Jennings says.
That's what Jennings says.
Is there another case that says that?
Well, Jennings is the only published case that says that, but the Reed case that I cited and provided to the court also says that.
Well, the concurrence in the Reed case.
Well, the concurrence gives more detail. The actual order also finds the qualified immunity for discretionary acts. It just doesn't go into the detail that Judge Catani did in his concurrence.
And I want to make sure that I understand the framework.
Judge Catlett, I'm sorry. Right. Your names are very similar.
So is it, in your view, what confers the immunity here? Is the fact that it was in response to an emergency?
Yes.
And it is also the fact that it involved some sort of discretionary decision by the police officer?
Yeah, the police officer's driving in response to an emergency was in his discretion.
Okay, so, and you have said that driving from a house to the police station is not discretionary.
Correct, under the Jennings decision.
Based on, if I'm going to decide how I'm going to drive down to the Phoenix police station, I've got to select a route. I could go on Jefferson or I could go on Van Buren, or aren't those discretionary decisions?
Well, those are, under Jennings, ministerial acts if you're not
speeding to an emergency call. I'm employing discretion in the route that I take. Is that not a discretionary act? I'm trying to understand the dividing line that you draw between a discretionary act and a ministerial act in the context of operating a motor vehicle.
Sure. And so the difference is, as Jennings stated, is speeding toward an act of emergency. So an officer who is just driving anywhere else, not on his way to an act of emergency, is...
Are the facts in this case speeding towards an act of emergency?
Yes.
Towards an emergency?
He was on his way. I think it also just says driving towards an act. There's several different ways that Jennings states that one of them is speeding toward an act of emergency, but driving in response to an emergency call for police backup is the other phrase.
You're saying an officer who's just on community patrol of a neighborhood, just driving around because there have been reports that some teenagers are making too much noise at the park, and the officer's just driving down the street, is negligent there. Are you saying is that a discretionary act for which there's
no
immunity?
I would say that in that case they would not be.
But he's driving, he's doing his job, he's driving because he's not speeding. He's been told there are some kids who are making noise at the park down the street.
Well, if he's in response to a call emergency call for service, then yes.
What if he's in response, or she is in response to a non-emergency call from dispatch? Well, is that discretionary or not?
Again, it would turn on the facts of the case, as I stated before, and the facts of this case are that Officer Pavlich was speeding to or on his way to an emergency call for service.
And I understand that, but again, part of it is both the joy and the burden of common law, which is not crisply defined because it evolves case by case.
Correct.
But non-emergent call from dispatch, hey, you need to go 8 blocks away and investigate a call about the juveniles being loud in a park. Without more, can we tell whether that's a discretionary emergency or non-emergency, discretionary act,
I mean, again, it would turn on the facts of each case that we have in the record.
But I go back to your suggestion that officers need to know. I mean, officers have to know, oh, in this instance, I can be negligent because it's a discretionary act. I won't be liable, but I'm driving. I'm going to investigate. There was a stolen car. I'm going to talk to the person whose car was stolen. I guess I can't be negligent here. I've got it. It seems like an odd line to draw. That you're hypothesizing that there's a public policy reason for changing who should bear the brunt of responsibility for harm caused by negligence based on that. But an officer needs to know, going to investigate a stolen car that's probably not an emergency versus the facts in this case. I'm struggling with that as a matter of public policy.
Well, as a matter of public policy, police officers need to get to emergency scenes more quickly than non-emergency scenes. So it's going to depend, again, on the facts of the case and the case before the court now.
I probably wasn't very articulate in trying to suggest that part of the analysis of negligence turns on the facts of he had to go faster because this was part of what he was doing. So it's not, doesn't that go into the analysis of whether this particular officer was negligent?
Well, I mean, it could, but we're here about the common law qualified immunity, which this court has said exists and is applied to emergency driving by police officers. And so we would ask the court to affirm the trial court's grant of summary judgment to the city and Officer Pavlich.
Thank you. Mr. Hester, rebuttal.
Thank you. Just a little potpourri here. Just a reminder, because I was already out of law school, I hate to admit it, but when the Stone case was decided, I think it was 1968 or something around
1963,
there.
1963, I believe.
Well, okay, maybe I wasn't out of law school. Says the substantive defense of governmental immunity is now abolished. I mean, that's dead on.
And
has the legislature since added, you know, and 9/11 immunity and all kinds of other immunities. Sure.
Didn't the Supreme Court reaffirm that Stone's holding in Ryan versus State in 1983?
I have to plead ignorance on that. I just can't remember. But I do know that the other cases since then, including the Reed case that she cited several times, talks about any immunity provided is to be narrowly construed. And I think that comes into place in this case. And in the Reed case, I ask you to look at the Reed case. It's not a case where the officer didn't have lights and siren. It's a wrongful arrest case. Hmm. And the quotation that she provided you is not in the opinion. It's in the concurring opinion. So I think
it's not
a little bit misrepresented
to
you.
Is it?
But I like your concurring opinions. No, I'm just kidding. I also noticed that 12-82.05 talks about immunities, and it specifically says this does not apply to acts or omissions arising out of either of the following. Number one, operation or use of a motor vehicle. What Ms. Corbett, I think, wants you to do is take this common law qualified immunity, if it exists, and put it on top of traffic cases when the legislature has already decided how that's to be handled. I mean, it totally makes sense that if you're going to just ignore, willy-nilly, I've always wanted to say that in court, the traffic laws, that the least you could do is turn on your lights and turn on your siren. We're not asking a lot. It's a facts question, really, whether he did enough.
28.624 is a very old statute. It goes back to before Stone, even. It's a 1940s, 1950s statute. What are we to make of the relative age of the Stone decision, the Ryan decision, the Governmental Liability Act 12-820.05, which was done in 1984, and the fact that 28-624 was many, many decades older than that?
Well, I mean, you could argue it doesn't exist at all anymore. The statute was abolished, but I think what the logical conclusion would be that it applies guardrails on the immunity that is provided to officers when they're responding to emergency situations. This is not a good situation that they are not held accountable for at least doing the minimum that the statute has said for years is the, you know, where we draw the line on what's safe for the public. And I appreciate your time in this, and I can tell you understand that that's the concern here. And however you rule, we appreciate your time and your effort and real consideration of what I think is a serious problem. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Counsel. We appreciate both of you for your presentation today and for your briefing. You've given us much to think about. We will take the matter under advisement, and we'll issue a written ruling in due course. Court's adjourned.
Thank you.